Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor. I am Ken Edwards. Back again is Ed Maher. Welcome back.
What's happening, Ken?
All good, all good. And Phil is now gone, so we're kind of rotating being gone.
Yeah, well, we mix it up for everybody.
Yeah, it's good.
You were
in Iceland?
I took a quick little weekend trip to Iceland.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome. I took a quick trip to Florida, where I fished.
Did you catch anything?
I fished.
You did not catch.
You know, it's like golf, I think.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to be good at it. I like it. I'm not good at it.
You know what? I don't even care if I'm ever good at golf. I just like to do it.
Yeah, same.
Because I could be doing other things that I don't want to do.
That's a good point.
So you got to...
Working.
Enjoy the process, my friend.
We have a really cool show for you today. We have, actually, quite frankly, something that's pretty darn important.
Yes.
And that is we have somebody from SEIU Local 73 coming in, Service Employees International Union, large union here in Chicagolands. And tonight, actually, at 9 o'clock, they are scheduled to go on strike.
Right, with the University of Chicago Medical Center.
Absolutely.
So some really important supply chain workers, and you're gonna want to hear a little bit more about this.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah, really important. So so we have that, and then we're going to talk about this wacky Project 2025.
And some of the things like attacks waiting in the wings, already written up, ready to go.
Ready to
every
rock.
Every worker, union worker, non-union, whatever.
Ready to hit send.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're talking threats to overtime pay, all kinds of terrible things.
Nutty stuff.
But on a lighter note, we do have a little bit of good news for at least 50% of the listeners, and that is that our producer, Ashley, is single.
All right.
Congratulations, Ashley. This is wonderful news.
Now, welcome back.
We love Ashley, and she does a great job for us, and she's brilliant, she's smart, and she's lovely, and we want to make sure she gets only the best guy for her next boyfriend. So we're doing a little bit of pre-screening here for her. So if you're interested, you're looking for a great woman, professional woman, climbing the ladder, doing big things, send a little audition tape to us at workersmike@wgnradio.com.
One caveat.
What's that?
You have to be gainfully employed.
Yeah, you have to have a job, but come on, it's the workers' mic.
Yeah, hey, building trades guys.
Yes.
You're making good money.
Yep.
Right?
You got benefits.
You got the whole thing.
Yeah, wouldn't it be more fun to drink at the bar with somebody? That could be Ashley. She's a lot of fun.
Drinking alone.
Yeah, drinking alone's not terrible, I think.
That's funny. Oh, boy. All right, listen, we'll take a quick break?
Yeah, and we'll be back with Eric Bailey from the SEIU Local 73.
All right, right on the Worker's Mic, 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Worker's Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megant Financial, Premis Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed Maher here with Ken Edwards, and we are joined by Eric Bailey, the Communications Director of SEIU Local 73. That's the Service Employees International Union. So welcome to the show, Eric.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Happy to have you.
Yeah.
I'm excited to learn a little bit more about SEIU Local 73. So how many members do you have? What kind of work do they do? Give us some basics about the union.
Yeah, absolutely. So we represent over 35,000 public service workers in Illinois and Northwest Indiana.
It's a big union.
Yeah,
primarily in public service and publicly funded positions in school districts, municipalities, social service agencies, and many other job classifications, but also some private sector like we're here to talk about today.
Yeah, and you've got some big things that are actually happening today with the union. Union involving your employees working at the University of Chicago Medical Center. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's correct. So our local represents 125 workers, wall-to-wall workers that keep the medical center running. That's building engineers, painters, carpenters, the supply chain workers.
Okay.
So
these are critical jobs in a health center. I mean, supply chain, that can't break down.
Absolutely. They keep that medical center running.
Right.
They keep everything supplied.
And these are people, by the way, that during the pandemic were frontline, first responders, if you will, frontline workers, people that kept, hospitals running.
Formerly known as essential workers. Remember?
And now, remember that? And now known as non-essential, dispendable.
Yeah. We don't have time to negotiate.
Yeah, sorry. We don't have any more money left.
Right.
That's outrageous. Yeah. And so I think we were talking off the air for a second, and One of the things that you said, which was appalling to me, was the fact that management surreptitiously came down and timed how your members opened boxes and got the supplies out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So they actually came down with a stopwatch and timed them distributing the supplies that were coming through, opening those boxes, getting them where they needed to go, and determined that the average amount of time per box came down to 2 minutes and 12 seconds, and that's how much time they have to process each box that comes in.
Forever.
Forever.
Doesn't matter the size of the box.
Nope.
Any box.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you ever see somebody on the floor with a stopwatch? Slow it down a little bit, because you're setting a standard. You don't want to kill yourselves, well, folks.
It makes me think of the I Love Lucy sketch with the chocolates, yeah, right? That are they're just coming through faster and faster, and they can't keep up. They can't keep up. So,
and that's got to drive you crazy.
Yeah.
And so the supply chain workers that you represent are working in, I would assume, a beautiful, air-conditioned, heat-controlled, wonderful environment, ergonomics, and everything, correct?
No heat, no AC.
You hear that?
So much for the workers
No heat and no air conditioning.
Yeah.
I mean, so I was joking, but not really. Like, you might as well work outside.
Right.
Right?
Well, in those working conditions, completely explain why you've got a 66% turnover rate.
Interesting.
In those supply chain workers.
Got it.
People come in, they see what the job's all about, and they see how they're being treated, and then they say, no, this is not the job for me.
In terms of the negotiations, you know, we'll talk about a strike in a second, but in negotiations, that's something obviously that you guys are trying to negotiate, correct?
Yeah. 100%.
Have you drawn a line in the sand, like, okay, enough is enough, like, no more timing us, let's get some AC in here?
Yeah, that the protection from the supply chain quotas is one of the key issues in this contract, and you know, in addition to that, affordable health insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a key component here, because
it's a hospital.
It's not a stretch. We want to be able to just go upstairs.
Workers at hospitals should have affordable health insurance.
You think?
That's not a stretch.
You guys have health insurance through the company, correct?
Correct.
And I think that's SEAA generally does that, right? Instead of having their own health insurance, they negotiate with the companies or the municipalities or the employers to get the health insurance through them. So the health insurance becomes an issue, obviously.
Yeah.
So what is it, like a percentage-based?
Yeah, and actually what the workers there have seen, they've seen their healthcare costs increase between 25 and 63% since 2021.
Wow.
Wow.
And so when you couple that with the cost of living going up and greedflation from the corporations raising prices on everything, what you have happening is the raises that are being offered don't keep up with that. So in effect, it's a pay cut.
You're going money backwards.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I want to go back to the supply chain for a quick second. If you are a patient at University of Chicago, which, by the way, I was, and my cardiologist is still there, and if you guys strike, I will not cross the picket line. So
get him out of going to the doctor.
Dr. Blair, if you're listening, I would love to make our appointment, but I can't. So those supplies, it's not like, you know, you're sending widgets, you know, out. You're sending medical supplies, right? That is the supply.
Yep.
I want people to understand this.
Yeah.
You're talking about drugs and needles and surgical supplies.
Everything that they need to keep
the hospital needs to go running to the right place.
Yeah.
And it needs to be the right one, right? I don't want my doctor operating on me with the wrong supply piece of equipment because the guy downstairs had 2 minutes and 12 seconds to get that to my doctor,
right?
I want him to take his time and get it right.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't care how much it costs, because it's not cheap, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when I went and got my surgery, I mean, we have great insurance, right, where I come from,
mm-hmm,
but I still paid my 10%, whatever, and I think I hit my max. But, you know, I saw the bills. This is not cheap stuff, right?
Yeah, I don't think any health center's not passing through every single cost and then some.
That's,
you know,
for sure.
The case of the $10 Advil, you know.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So we got all those issues on the table for negotiations. And how long have you been negotiating?
Since December.
Okay. Yeah. So
6 months.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And so there are also, you guys allege, unfair labor practice charges by the employer. So tell us about those.
Yeah, so we've had we filed charges over surveillance of our members,
mm-hmm,
retaliation by canceling negotiations, failing and refusing to provide information relevant to bargaining,
right? Yep.
And most recently, refusing to allow the members to reserve meeting space. They literally locked the doors and said, nope, you can't have a meeting here.
Why?
They said, you're just not allowed to have a meeting on
You mean a union meeting.
A union meeting in our space.
Right. Yep. So if they wanted United Way to come in and make a presentation, that's okay. But if the union, no thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so those are all examples of unfair labor practices, things that are completely forbidden by federal labor law. And, that's the grounds of what we're in here talking about. That's the center of it.
Yeah, that's the center of why these workers will be going on strike tonight, yeah, starting at 9 p.m.
The ULP strike
because of these unfair labor practices.
So when you say the unfair labor practice charges, let's explain to the people that are listening, you file charges with the National Labor Relations Board, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And have they ruled on those charges yet?
No.
Have you gone to hearing?
No.
Okay. Have you gotten a complaint out of it?
Not yet.
That takes a little time.
Takes a little time.
The federal government doesn't work quickly.
Yeah. So given the overturning of Chevron, which we'll have some discussion, now it's going to be the Wild West when it comes to agencies like the National Labor Relations Board.
Yeah.
I'm digressing a little bit, but trying to make the point is that these federal agencies are important, and you're striking due to these alleged unfair labor practice charges, period, the end. There is no other reason for it. And had they not broken the law, you'd still hopefully be back at the bargaining table or trying to get back. And by the way, they still have an obligation to bargain even when you're on strike, correct?
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So yeah. How many, your entire workforce goes out, right?
Yep.
And do you know, Eric, whether like the nurses, for example, have a no strike clause in their contract that does not allow them to honor a picket line?
I don't know. I know that we've reached out to all the unions that will be affected by the hospital, whether it's unions representing workers within the medical center or unions that say are delivering supplies there.
Yep.
And we've asked them not to cross the picket lines, to honor that, to ensure that the ULP strike is being honored. I can say that the employer has already said that they've hired scabs to replace all the workers.
Wow.
So, it's clear that, they do not value these workers and the work that they do and provide for the patients and the community.
They've hired scabs to replace the people that are
distributing medicine. And I mean, this is very often with scabs, the employers quickly find it's a case of you'll miss me when I'm gone and good help is hard to find. But you shouldn't have to learn this the hard way when you're dealing with a health center where people's health, people's lives are on the line.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, and here's the other thing, too, is that, this is a $4 billion private company that is paying their president, Tom Jackowitz, $1 million a year.
Right.
And they have said to us at the bargaining table, we have financially, can we pay you what you say you're worth and provide these benefits for you? Yeah, financially we can do that. We just don't think that you're worth it. They've said that to the workers
at the
bargaining table.
I've had that said to me across the table. Yeah. And it is like, it's the most infuriating thing when there's six people across the table from you with a total combined salary of $4.7 million between the lawyer and the HR and the director and blah, 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 blah. And they're telling people that are collectively making, 50 grand across the table. Yeah, you're not worth it.
Yeah.
Like, we're worth it.
Yep.
You're not worth it.
I don't know
it.
What you do, but I think we're paying you too much.
Yeah.
You're not doing it fast enough.
Exactly.
I don't know what you do, but you don't do it very well.
Right.
Yeah, that's and by the way, if you're listening, don't scab. Don't take somebody else's job. That's probably one of the worst things that a person can do, in my humble opinion, is take somebody else's job.
Workers don't go on strike for no reason.
Right.
They go on strike as a last resort when things have gotten bad, when their rights are being violated, when there's something that needs to be regained or some balance that's got to be restored. So if a scab comes in and says, well, I'll do that work for half price,
right,
you're setting everyone else back. So there's there's nothing worse than being a scab.
Yeah, you're helping the country race to the bottom.
Yeah. For sure.
And where do they get these scabs? Are they like from like a temp agencies?
Probably
or?
From temp agencies. I mean, that's a huge problem anytime a work site goes on strike, whether it's a ULP strike or not. Hiring these scabs from temp agencies, these agency workers, oftentimes they're paying them more than they would have paid their workers. Right. And it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a good point. So if you get a scab, right, like that you are trusting to run the entire heating and air conditioning system for the hospital that relies on, you know, pumps working correctly, yeah. right, and ventilators and all that kind of stuff. And you're like, hey, Joe Scab, come on down here and you run it. You know, make sure.
Right.
Hey, do you have it in training? No, don't worry about it. Get in here and do it.
Yeah.
That's the time I don't want to go to the hospital.
You're putting patients' lives at risk.
Of course you are. Yeah. Absolutely you are. You, the hospital, by the way, and it's a for-profit hospital, correct?
Yes, they are for-profit. They're a private employer.
Yeah. And it's part of the University of Chicago school system?
It's part of, but also somewhat separate. It's its own entity. So you got President Tom Jackowitz over there, like I said, making $1 million a year. And actually, if our listeners want to reach out to him, go to seiu73.org/UCMC.
Okay.
You can email Tom Jackowitz today.
Do it.
Tell him to stop this, get back to the bargaining table, give these workers a fair contract.
Absolutely. I'll do it.
Yeah, take a minute and do that. What's the website again?
SEIU73.org/UCMC.
This is what you can do to help these folks out there, listeners.
So and make calls, right? Pick up the phone and call. You said something earlier that I think people gloss over. It's like they refuse to provide you information. One of the keys in negotiations is, in order to have a successful negotiations for both sides, you have to have the right information.
And the same facts. The same data.
Yeah, we all have to be operating from the same page.
Absolutely.
And I love the fact that you said, you know, that they told you, we got the money, we just don't want to give it to you.
Yeah.
Because if they say we don't have the money, then you get to open up their books. And they hate that with a passion. Boy, do they hate
that. Made that mistake before, apparently.
Yeah, for sure. Like when I went to University of Chicago to get my surgery done, I say, hey, I went to University of Chicago. Hospital. Is there anything that we can do?
Yeah, on Tuesday, this Tuesday, July 16th at 11:30 a.m., we will be having a solidarity rally.
Awesome.
So we want everybody that's
Where?
A union member. It's going to be right there at 5700 South Maryland Avenue, right there at the medical center.
Excellent.
So anybody that's a union member, you're going to be on your lunch break. You're off that day. Come on down. Show your support for these workers.
What time is it at?
11:30. And it'll be at 5700 South Maryland Avenue, right there at the medical center.
Come on down.
Yeah.
If you guys aren't working, you got a day off, you know, you feel like showing some support.
When you go out to these things and you see the folks that are out there fighting, you realize they're just like you. They're just somebody who goes to work every day trying to make a living for their family. And if you can support them and help them, it feels good.
Yeah, try and help them out because look, it could be you.
Yeah.
Literally, right? Your job could be next. So, yeah, we would certainly encourage that. We would encourage people not to cross a legitimate picket line.
And like you said, it's a strike is an act of last resort. It's when you've exhausted all other options. And in this case, because of these unfair labor practice charges, this ULP strike, the workers have overwhelmingly voted to carry out this ULP strike because they said, look, we have no choice at this point. You've forced us into this.
Yeah.
And it's not something people want to have to do, but ultimately, a strike is sometimes what it takes.
And the employer's breaking the law. It's not about being unfair. It's not about just opinions, personal opinions.
Yeah,
it's about breaking the law.
That's why you're on strike. That's right. Yeah. It's not about money. It's right. It's like I can't get to a fair agreement unless you negotiate fairly.
Absolutely.
End of discussion. Absolutely. Whether we could be talking about, we could have no issue about money, no issue about vacation, no issue about, you know, supply chains, et cetera. But if you're not negotiating fairly and correctly and willing to sit down and negotiate in good faith, which is what the law requires, then you can never get to a contract. And too many employers engage in what I call surface bargaining, right? I don't call it. That's a thing where they just go like, yeah, we'll sit down, we'll listen to you, and let me, you know, I'll play video games on my phone while you're making your proposal. I've had that too.
Yeah,
it's enough to drive you nuts. But listen, we got to go. Go down and support these guys, Local 73 of SEIU. We'll have more on this, and we wish you all the best. And if there's anything else we can do, you know, please let us know. We appreciate you coming down and talking about this important issue right here on The Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megant Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. That was important.
Eric was he's a great guy.
Super, super sharp. And we wish them well. We really hope that this does not come to it. Hopefully there's a last-minute settlement, if you will, to resolve these unfair labor practices.
Well, I've got to say, like, what the story he was telling about them being told in negotiations, we have the money to pay workers, we just don't think you're worth it.
Yeah.
That's one of the more sort of just overt examples of the change in feeling toward what were essential workers. I mean, we talk about, you know, grocery workers for a year were important to everyone, and then all of a sudden people forgot, and now their own employers are forgetting it and throwing it in their faces. But these are important workers in an important place. Of course
they are. Listen, you're right, people have short memories. But if you remember back in the height of COVID, when the hospitals are, they were turning people away,
right?
People were, you know, dying in the hallways, and, you know, the ambulance drivers and the police and firefighters, but these hospital workers were working almost round the clock.
Yeah.
Right? And they were devastated. There must be a ton of PTSD from that as well.
Oh, for sure.
But these were the people that were making sure that, you know, the elderly didn't die. They had a ventilator, right? And things like that. Now, all of a sudden, like you said, it's like, wow, talk about a short memory.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I've got a family member who works in supply chain for Northwestern.
Okay.
And we all joke when we talk to him that when COVID happened, that's what he'd been preparing for his whole life.
That's interesting.
And so these people, when we needed them, they were there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we shouldn't be so quick to forget and just push in their faces.
I don't think we are. And quite frankly, I think
society, it's just a small segment of society, but we've got to keep the pressure on the people that are forgetting.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know what it is. Unfettered greed. Like, it's like, if you're the University of Chicago Hospital and you're making, I don't know, what, $4 billion a year, whatever that number is, right? You're not a publicly traded company, so you don't have to, like, return money to the investors. What's the upside to not paying your workers a living wage?
More or, for me.
Me need more money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I don't know. It's just outrageous. We wish them luck. There's a bunch of other things happening in the news today. We want to tick off a couple of things. Ed, you found something in Greece that I thought was interesting.
Yeah, Greece kind of is going the other way as the rest of the world, where they have initiated a 6-day work week.
Oh, thank God.
Now, the details on this are a little bit murky. Initially, it was that they were saying there weren't enough people to man certain professions. So they were saying, we've got to work longer hours. And I'm thinking, well, that's one way to get everybody to leave and go to, you know, the country in every other direction that's working less days.
Right.
But yeah, they're moving to a 6-day work week. People are kind of furious about it. And the overtime that they're offering up or speculating isn't even like time and a half. So, so I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this works. Greece, I have to say, doesn't have a recent reputation for working super hard. So I think this might be, this might not work.
Yeah.
People don't want to work more days.
It's really beautiful there and the beaches are nice.
They are.
Right?
They are.
Yeah. I've never been.
I don't know what anybody was saying over there, but it looks very pretty, and there's a lot of really old things, which you know I enjoy.
Yeah,
I buildings, see. Buildings.
Yeah, history.
Yes.
So there's that, and then we had the American Airlines Flight Attendants Union in here the other day, and they were talking about some of the things that they were trying to get in negotiations. One of them that was really sort of hit home to a lot of people, I got a lot of comments on this, was the fact that they don't get paid until the door shuts.
Right.
So they're working, they're putting bags up, they're doing all this kind of stuff, and they're not getting paid.
Yeah.
And to this day, I cannot, and this has been historical, by the way, I simply can't understand how that's legal. But, you know, they're under a different set of rules,
yeah.
Federal Labor Relations Act, or the Railway Labor Relations Act, I should say. Recently, in the good news department, Alaska Airlines negotiated a monster contract, giant raises, and for the first time in unionized flight attendant history, they get paid from when they show up to work.
I mean, it seems fair.
Yes, certainly does. So hopefully that trickles down to everybody else. I think Delta already did it.
I think that's right.
To avoid their flight attendants from going union.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a smart move, whatever.
The rising tide. I mean,
absolutely.
We say it all the time.
Yeah,
that,
right.
You know, a union contract kind of spreads the wealth through
but good,
through the entire industry.
Yeah, so it's nice to see some, you know, some wins.
That should be a new standard. Because anytime you talk about it, anytime you hear a flight attendant talk about, here are the things that we're doing when you get on the plane,
Yeah. We're
not getting paid for this. Like, we're putting your bags up in the top for you. We're not getting paid for any of that. We're driving to the airport. We're walking there. We're standing there. We're waiting for a gate change.
That's right.
They're just not getting paid. And it seems crazy when you look at it. So this is wonderful news, and hopefully it's the start of this for all flight attendants.
Yeah, no question about it. In the world of irony, Zoom
Yeah, Zoom. Their HR has announced that they're going to be having all their people come back to the office.
Zoom.
Right? I figure those employees have got to be laughing for the last few years, like, you're going back to the office? Not us. We're going to be the last people to go back to the office. Well, I guess, you know.
Surprise.
Yeah, jokes maybe on you, unfortunately, Zoom employees, because they want you back in the office.
That stinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. And then last, before we get into this, I want to talk about this project, 2025.
Oh, yeah.
Last one before that. And by the way, I got to just say this, because I think that I want to make sure that we don't seem like we're one-sided politically when things, you know, you talked about Trump getting indicted, et cetera, and then
right.
convicted. You know, I think Biden had an abysmal debate. And
yeah.
And I, for the first time, saw the other side and said, yeah, well, maybe they are right. Maybe he is too old. And I'm concerned.
People who framed it as a bad night, we're not talking about a bad performance at a debate. We're talking about something that everybody who's had, you know, seen somebody age has seen something like this.
Agreed.
And, you know, we've, yeah. You know, I've seen a lot
I feel,
of people.
And I feel for the guy. Like, hey, listen, I think he did a wonderful, wonderful job for labor. Great job for infrastructure.
The programs, you know, that he put into place put people
sure.
I know to work.
All day,
and that
every
means
day.
Something.
Absolutely. I think it may be.
It's undeniable.
Opinion, so yeah, it might be time to graciously step aside and let somebody that doesn't have what appears to be
some
mental acuity issues.
Yeah, signs of aging.
Yeah. So, anyway, I just wanted to mention that because I don't want it to seem like we're completely one-sided, and we're not.
We're trying
to be fair to this, and especially our listeners are probably half and half anyway.
Let's talk about the other side of the other choice that we have.
We have Project 2025.
Right, and what is Project 2025?
It sounds like a science fiction movie.
Yeah, but it's not. It's basically a... It's a 900-page document that's put together by one of the oldest and most well-staffed conservative think tanks in America, known as the Heritage Foundation.
Isn't that run by Clarence Thomas?
No, but I think
don't they sponsor him?
I'm sure we'll find out. I mean, he would never tell. I think Ginny might be over there doing some work, maybe.
But I think he wears their signature or their symbol in the back of his robe.
They should do that. They should have logos.
They should just say, this is who sponsors me. Here's my sponsor.
Yeah, welcome. Today at the Supreme Court, brought to you by Harlan Crow, we're going to be hearing some cases, and we don't even need to hear them because we already wrote the decisions.
We leaked it, and then, I'm sorry, we're going to listen. So we're going to make a real decision.
Yeah, when I see Justice Alito just playing Candy Crush, I know that there's something not quite right.
But Snake.
Yeah, he's got a flip phone. But so this Project 2025 has been getting a lot of play lately. What is it? There are an awful lot of folks who look at this thing, and it's a series of ideas for how to transform the country. And the Heritage Foundation
it's a manifesto.
I know.
It's like a legit manifesto.
The Heritage Foundation has said that the next president, they will provide this, and these are turnkey proposals.
Right.
It's like, here's what the president needs to do, here's what Congress needs to do to make this happen. So what are some of these ideas? I mean, from getting rid of the Department of Education to every area of the government is touched. So we're going to focus on those that impact workers. So are these going to be good changes or are they going to be bad changes? We'll let you decide.
Well, if you're a worker, they're going to be... You think things are tough now? It's going to be really, really, really tough, like getting rid of overtime.
Yeah, the end of overtime pay.
And by the way, don't take our word for this because look, as you know, Ed, we at the Workers' Mic do our due diligence.
Yeah, and we're up late. We're reading things, crunching numbers.
Yeah, we're doing all of that kind of stuff.
We
got a lot of consultants behind us making sure that our facts are correct. No, we just Google stuff like 5 minutes before we get on the air. But in this particular case, I literally downloaded the paper.
And you sent it to me, and then I read nearly the entire thing.
You did read the whole thing.
It's crazy.
900 and
it
some
was
odd
scary.
Pages.
Yeah, if you want a scary book to read, read
it.
It
might as well just be called How to Destroy Democracy in 900 Pages.
Right. I mean, so we're talking about getting rid of OSHA.
Yeah.
We're talking about like safety.
So OSHA is the agency.
Occupational Safety and Healthy.
Right.
Health Administration.
That makes sure that you have safety constraints at work, right?
Right. So getting rid of overtime, getting rid of OSHA, getting rid of sexual discrimination policy. So all these things that are just the wrong direction. We're just heading. I mean, we're not talking about political woke issues, we're talking about safety. We're talking about inspectors who make sure that places that people go to work are safe enough that they'll go home. Why would we roll that back? Unless we're trying to, you know, go back in time, put kids back in the coal mines.
Well, I think that there is obviously is a certain segment of our population that wants that.
Well, and, because and that's the 1%. Yeah, it's cheaper exactly to right. do business if there's no regulation.
That's right. And look, at the end of the day, Project 2025 is primarily about money.
There's no question.
It's an almighty dollar. You can couch it in all this other nonsense, you know, small government, you know, blah, blah. It's about money. It's about the almighty dollar. That's all this is about.
There was one proposal that, you know, that I read that said that basically, you know, in the U.S., there's a 40-hour week. And if you work over 40 hours in many positions, you get time and a half for overtime. So what they're talking about doing is taking that 40-hour week or that overtime calculation, spreading it over 2 weeks instead. Like, give the worker.
What does that mean?
Give the worker more choice. It's not one option. There's more options. But what it actually means is, and we've seen this in the union world a million times, is they could make you work 60 hours in 1 week and then 20 hours the next week and pay you no overtime for that.
Basically cheating you out of money.
Yeah, under the and calling it freedom, calling it choice. This isn't about, you know, union jobs. This is about every kind of job. And like I said, getting rid of general discrimination regulations so that, you know, basic protections you have against somebody just mistreating you in the most basic ways at work.
So if you're gay, if you're gay, they can literally say, hey, you're fired. How come? Because you're gay.
That's honestly, they remove LGBTQIA+ folks from the discrimination.
But you imagine, and look, now at least they're saying it out loud.
Yeah.
Right? And not only are they saying it out loud, they're putting it in writing.
Right.
And you know what? I'll tell you another thing. So we go back to the workers' issues for a second. I did something relatively simple. I took the document, 900 pages, and I typed in the word union.
Yeah.
And I just read through everywhere it mentions union. I started to go down and read about like how it would actually affect unions.
Right.
And there's a massive amount of literature in this document that just rails against public sector unions, right?
Right.
So, like, for example, Eric, right, his union is predominantly public sector for SEIU, right?
Yeah.
Getting rid of them, outlawing them, making them illegal, kind of like what they did in Wisconsin, they're trying to do in Florida, et cetera. Yeah. They're so powerful, blah, 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 nonsense, and getting rid of them. And then on the private sector side,
yeah,
having workers not be able to join a union anymore, but they can form this sort of
worker collective where
advisory committee.
Yeah. So there's a think tank in West Virginia that's run by J.D. Vance. He wrote Hillbilly Elegy. He's being floated as a likely VP nod for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So I dealt with his think tank probably about a year ago.
Oh,
and they had floated this idea and said, would you write a paper about this? Would you give some commentary about this? And this is getting rid of unions, but putting in a group that, you know, it's a group of workers that can talk to managers and give ideas, and the managers don't have to listen to them, but like, we'll get rid of unions and do this instead, which is insane.
Yeah.
We give up all your protections and we'll, you know, buy you lunch once a month for five of you or something like that.
Right.
So I wrote a column about it, and it was basically about how unions are the greatest protection for workers' freedoms and all that. And they're just like, yeah, we can't publish that. So it's like, okay, I mean, you're not interested.
Why'd they ask you?
Well, they asked Local 150, so I wrote it on alongside some of the officers there.
But why would they ask a union to write something about how unions should be replaced by something
else?
I don't know.
Clearly, the thought process is not befitting someone that should be, you know, second in command of the country. But these are ideas that if you use the word freedom, if you use the word choice, if you use all these words together, you can take people's rights away from them and give them the thought that they're getting more options. So that's what this Freedom 2025 thing is. And I'm telling you, this isn't like, it's not like you have to take our word for this. You can look this up. And that's what everybody's saying. Whatever spectrum of the of society you care about, whatever your issues are, they're going to be threatened by this. There's not really much of anything in here that's going to put money in your pocket, help you in any meaningful way. So,
you know, it's a really good point.
Yeah.
It's like, it hurts you. It hurts people across every spectrum in the country. Poor, middle class. The only people it doesn't hurt are the uber super wealthy.
Right.
The 1% of the 1%. I'm serious about that. And people that have already made their money and now want to simply move this country in a way that is going to be really, really bad for the working class, for the middle class, for people trying to earn a living.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about a race to the bottom. So do what I did. Take that document, download it. You can, it's literally 900 pages. And whatever your issue is,
yeah,
type it in.
Yeah. Look at the table of contents. Yeah. They've left no stone unturned.
Yeah, just type it in. You'll find something in there that hurts you.
Right.
And so, you know, Trump is trying to distance himself now from this, but it has the word Trump all over it.
I mean, the Heritage Foundation has partnered in the past a great deal with Trump. Trump yeah. speaks at their thing. So the creating distance, because that's the question is, right. is this equal to Trump, the platform for Trump, the platform for the RNC?
Yeah.
That's the question. Now, the answer, part of the answer here is that I'll say, and, you know, I'll keep this brief, is the Heritage Foundation about 2 years ago started this whole concept of Project 2025 that right. on day one, we're going to change everything quick.
Yes.
But to do that, you have to have the right people in the right agencies.
Right.
So what they've been doing is they created what they call LinkedIn for conservatives.
Yeah.
So they've been vetting conservatives, and they said they wanted to have like 100,000 that on day one, if the president, if President is Trump, he can say, give me 100,000 people, put them in the government.
That's right.
You're talking, I mean, you want to talk about the swamp?
Yeah.
That's the dirtiest, filthiest
and
swamp.
And they have a list of people to target. Like, yeah. they target, they go, it's literally McCarthyism. And
yeah.
I'll tell you this, here, building trades guys, across the board, all of us.
Yeah.
You ready? Here's one thing that will drive you nuts.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get rid of no-fault divorce.
I know.
So guess what? You're married forever.
Yeah.
forever.
Yeah.
You hate her now? You wait. Can you imagine getting rid of no fault? Like, two people want to separate.
Yeah.
They decide to go their own separate
ways. Gotta be somebody's fault.
There has to be something at fault, and then you have to go to court. And by the way, that takes forever and a lot of time and effort and money. They want to get rid of that.
I mean, I did hear that yours was all your fault. Mine too. Anywho.
Do you know anybody that it wasn't our fault?
Nah, no, not at all. But
I mean, that's one thing right there. Just read it. It literally says it.
Yeah.
So it's just this is
bad for everybody, and it's a bad look for government. This is a think tank trying to take over the government, and
right.
everybody should be against it. So
pretty much.
But we've got to take a quick break.
Yeah.
Right. And we will be right back with you with a little bit more Workers' Mike here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mike, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. If you've heard what we just said, go do your own due diligence. Just look at it. There's no way that you're going to say, this is great.
Yeah,
I love this thing.
Right.
And by the way, they made it 900 pages for a reason.
Right.
Because they know nobody's going to sit there and read through the whole thing.
It's like the federal budget.
Yeah. But here, type in whatever your issue is, search it, find it, you'll see it hurts you. All right. So we, by the way, I always forget, I wanted to shout out a listener.
Okay.
Listener of the week.
Yeah.
His name is Jeff the Uber driver. It's I'm not kidding. I don't know if you know this, Ed, but when I get into an Uber, the very first thing I say is, hey, you know what? You guys would make a strong union. And I just start my spiel.
Right.
And I'd say half of them go like, yeah, you're right. Like,
I had one in Kansas City a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
and she said that she typically the average of what she gets on every fare is less than half.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And unbelievable. I had no idea.
Yeah, and they took away the driver's ability to see.
Yeah.
So I always tell them, like, hey, do you know how much I'm paying for this ride? They're like, no, they don't tell us anymore. And I tell them, they're like, oh, well, I'm getting, you know, a third of that. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So anyway, I had this, you know, Jeff the Uber driver, and I told him about, you know, the show. And some, like a week or two later, I had Jeff the Uber driver again. And he's like, hey, listen to your show. I'm like, oh, cool, man. And so I'm giving a shout out, Jeff.
Let's get him in here.
We should get him in here. I'll probably see him again at some point. But it'd be fun to get an Uber driver in here, right?
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, that is our shout out. We also have a sort of a public service announcement, if you will, and that is the Building Trades Softball Tournament.
Yeah, this coming next week on Saturday is the Chicago Building Trades annual softball tournament. Now, this might not sound like a big deal, but they raise a lot of money for charity. They usually raise around $30,000 for Dollars Against Diabetes. And if you're in a union, you're a building trades union, your union probably has a team. And I'm telling you, this is no joke. So if you want to go out there and hear some of the most creative trash talk that you are ever going to hear, it's at Mount Greenwood Park on the 20th here. It starts at 8 a.m. and it's all day long. It's a lot of fun. It's for a good cause. So go on out, check it out, Mount Greenwood Park.
By the way, you think it's like kind of good-natured people kind of just like – you know, having a good time playing like the NBA playoff game or the All-Star games, whatever. No.
They practice year-round for
this. They take it really, really seriously. Yeah. Like, really seriously. And then they have a trophy for a year, and they'll remind you for a year.
Unless you're Local 150, who had it for 3 years.
Is that right?
3 consecutive years.
There's just no way. I've heard about like ringers and people that like.
That's none of that's true, Ben. Stop it. Let's move along.
Fair enough. All right. So anyway, that's a good cause. And you know what, Ed? We joke about this. Like this golf outing after golf outing after golf outing after event after event after event. But people don't realize that most of these events raise money for charities.
I went to the Pipefitters event this past week,
right.
And they raised, I think, $300,000 for cancer research, for pediatric cancer.
People don't know this. You know, they, this is all, once again, like our own best-kept secret. When we have these golf outings, you know, look at the big unions having a big golf outing, whatever. Yeah, right. And they're taking all the money, and they're giving it to, like 150 gives to Navy SEALs.
Jim Sweeney, the Sweeney Classic, the Local 150, raised, I think, $1.1 million
in one day
to benefit the families of Navy SEALs.
That were killed in action.
Yeah, or injured, just supporting their families, helping their kids get tutored.
Like the Archer Avenue Parade, the money goes to protect the vest. And so there's a lot of altruistic things.
Good causes.
We got a ton of stuff to talk about. Next week, maybe we can talk about the Samsung workers that are actually striking, and which is amazing to me, in Korea, South Korea, not North Korea, by the way.
They're all working in North Korea.
They're bringing in North Koreans.
Three jobs.
They're bringing in North Koreans to break the strike from South Korea.
I sure hope not.
No, that's not true.
I know.
All right, listen, we got to go. Thank you so much for all of your support, your great comments, and all the emails that are already pouring in for Win a Dream Date with Ashley. That's going to be super cool.
Remember, Workers Mike at WGNRadio.com. Win a date with Ashley. She's lovely.
All right, we'll see you next week. Bye, everyone.
The preceding episode of The Workers Mike was powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers Mike, visit WGNRadio.com.